check, check.
Hello?
Hey, Mike, Larry from the JOB Radio Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good. Hey, do you got a couple of minutes?
Yeah, I do.
Cool.
Sure do.
Hey, so this is a show all about careers and jobs that airs in San Francisco. We're going to tape this and then play it in a couple of weeks. I'll make sure to email you if you want to stream it on the web.
Okay. Are you going to have it on your website?
I will. But we don't know necessarily when it will air yet, but I'll make sure to when it airs and posts, I'll make sure you get the link and all that good stuff.
Cool. I actually checked out your site last night, and I saw some of your other guests. That was cool.
I'm honored. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, you had some pretty good people on there.
Hey, we don't mess around. We don't mess around.
Yeah.
Do I have a
minute or so before we're on, or are we on right now?
You want me to call you back in 5 minutes?
Yeah, I just want to grab a water.
Let me. You want me to give you 5 minutes, or you want me to hold on?
I'll tell you what. You might be able to just hold on.
I'll hold on.
Okay, 1 second. I mean, I'm just at the convenience store. I'm just going to grab a water here.
Do it.
And I've been busy working on the truck, this hurricane truck idea I have, and just doing some last-minute spray painting the wind gauge tower and all that stuff. So.
Good. I'll make sure I'll ask you about that.
Yeah.
Extreme. Yeah. Okay.
I'm almost there. I'm paying right now.
Hey, don't sweat it. Don't take your time. We're good.
Okay.
We're rolling on you buying. Water live. Very good.
Live buying water. This is amazing. All right. Thank you. Have a good day. Okay. 1 second. Okay. I think we're.
Hey, I think I have this intro right. If I don't, just interrupt me after I do it, but I think I got it right. Okay.
Yeah.
Mike Tice is the owner and webmaster of Eye in the Tropics. You can find his photography at extremenature.com and his video at ultimatechase.com. Hey, Mike, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be able to share with your guests some of my stories and talk about my next adventure, sure.
So how do you're like an extreme weather chaser? I mean, how do we describe you?
I get asked this a lot. I think I'd like to be considered an extreme weather photographer. Photography is my second largest passion next to weather, and I like to combine the both and just document the most raw video, the most eye-dropping still photos, and just I want to catch people's attention and show them how bad hurricanes can be. And, you know, Mother Nature can be really beautiful, and then again, she can be real ugly.
So let's start at the beginning. You grew up in the Florida Keys watching weather patterns, right?
Yeah, correct. In the Florida Keys, we stick out like a sore thumb. We're right in the middle of Hurricane Alley. And as a kid growing up, we had several brushes, a couple direct hits. And I was sucked in. I was so interested and amazed by, you know, what goes on in a hurricane. But then there was the other aspect that always kind of grabbed my attention, and that was the media and how they covered the hurricane. And, you know, everything involved, it just affected so many people's jobs, and just everything becomes about that hurricane when you're living in a community that has it heading towards them. And it's just amazing how a single thing like that, which, because it's very powerful, but how it can just grab everyone's lives. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life at the time, and you have to focus on that hurricane, you know, either evacuating, preparing your house, whatever you're going to do, whatever the situation is. But, you know, I've always been fascinated with that idea.
So is it true that in the third grade you received detention for running into a giant dust devil against your teacher's permission to put your hand inside the vortex to sample the wind?
This is correct. Yes, I did. So I think you could say I had the bug since I was a kid. And that was actually my very first weather experience at all. I mean, that was it, you know, the big dust devil. And I thought, man, what is this all about? And, you know, oh, weather. And, you know, what other kind of weather is there? What other phenomenon is there? And, I just had to run up to it, and it was just, it never happens out there. I mean, it's the only time it was my first dust devil I ever saw. And it wasn't one of your average, everyone's probably seen them in their community, like, if it's real hot, just kind of your average one. This thing looked like a tornado. I mean, ripping across the soccer field, you know, had real loose black dirt. And I would give anything to have had a camera at that moment to have a picture of that, because I still have the memory in my mind. But, you know, I would like to share to people how big that, you know, that dust devil was. It was probably 30 feet, 40 feet tall.
So I got wind of you because of your hurricane coverage recently on some of the news channels. You didn't flee the hurricane. You went into the hurricane. You actually flew to the Bahamas, if I have this right, to be one of the first to see the hurricane, Hurricane Irene, up close.
That's true. I wasn't the first because it had affected the Turks and Caicos, and it kind of developed over Puerto Rico. But I believe that I was the first to get the strong wind that, you know, it had to offer. I was on one of the first Bahama islands, or, you know, it hit. It ended up hitting directly some other Bahama islands to my north, but, you know, I had seen it 6 hours before them, so I feel like I kind of captured Irene's first real ugliness, you know, on video real well. And, you know, and of course, as you know, it went up the East Coast, and it caused a lot of havoc up there as well. But, you know, it's just what I do. I enjoy doing it, and I go into the hurricane just to document it. I try to get in the worst area. I'm not trying to be one of these reporters or media who's on the very outskirts so they can claim, yes, I am in Hurricane Irene. But they're showing conditions that are 20, 30 mile-an-hour winds, heavy rain. I don't believe in that. I believe if you're going to show something, show its true eyes, you know, show its, you know, excuse the pun, but show its eye, you know, I mean, get in there and get to the center of it and record that ring of furious thunderstorms, which is called the eye wall, that wraps that eye. And in order to get that grand prize of getting in the eye of a hurricane, you have to first go through the first half of the eye wall, which can be scary if it's a real strong one. And then you get into this eye, and it's calm, it's peaceful, the pressure's real low. But then there's that thought in the back of your mind that I'm currently completely surrounded by this eye wall, so you know you have to go through it one more time to escape the hurricane. And to me, that part of the adventure part of that is you know, part of my motivation as well of doing what I do.
So then how do you, we're speaking with Mike Tice, owner of ExtremeNature.com and UltimateChase.com. He is going out there and videoing these hurricanes that are gone, most recently Irene. How do you plan for these hurricanes? For instance, you have to obviously get an air ticket to go to the Bahamas. And then what you do, call these hotels. I saw you at like one of the big hotels in the Bahamas. You call them up and say, hey, I know it's a hurricane's coming, but I want to stay at your hotel. How do you plan for this?
Well, island hopping or island chasing is really difficult. There's a lot of luck involved because the airline companies closed down a couple days before and hotels quit taking reservations. And they just focus on the people that are currently at their hotel. So it's hard to get into these areas if you wait too much to the last minute. But then again, the forecast track 3 days out, you know, it's pretty accurate, but it's not spot on. So you don't know exactly where that eye, that, you know, it could be anywhere from 4 miles wide to 50 miles wide, the eye. They're all different. But to get in that eye, you sort of have to pick an island and say, okay, I think it's going to go to this island versus this island 100 miles to the west. And so you get into position, you take your best shot, and then you, you know, you just kind of, once the airport closes, you know you're not leaving that island, and now you're just watching this hurricane come at you. And when you start watching it on radar, you can see wobbles. It's wobbling back and forth, and it can make a difference. I mean, you could miss seeing 150 mile-an-hour winds by 20 miles very easily. You know, that's how crucial it is to get in that right spot of a hurricane. Whereas when you chase on the coastline, say it's heading for Florida, you have usually a coastal road that goes parallel to that coast. So you can move, you know, one way or the other to reposition where you are in relation to that eye wall coming on shore. Whereas when you're on an island, you're there. You know, you're on that one little speck, and you're not going to get on a boat and go to another island. You can't, I mean, you're there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So and then there's always that chance of what if it ramps up to a Category 5 at the last minute, which, especially over in the Bahamas area, traditionally there's some of the strongest hurricanes on this planet we've ever recorded have, you know, got generated or come through that Bahamas, you know, shallow water area and just exploded. So, you know, there's always that too. Like, but anyways, you know, so it's all you can do is like playing the lottery. If you never play the lottery, you're never going to win. But if you never just take a chance and go to one of the islands, you're never going to win. You know, so if you want to see a hurricane on an island, that is the best way to see them is on an island. Once they get to the coastline, a lot of times they're not as good, or it's just, I don't know, you don't get the full effects. You don't get that wind just whipping off the water unobstructed. And, you know, so that's the way it is. It's some skill. It's some, you know, guessing with the forecast. And then there's a lot of luck involved.
How do you stay safe? I've seen some of this video where the floods are coming through the hotels you're staying in. I mean, is there a trick to staying safe? Do you take precautions or you just go with it?
No, absolutely not. I try to get to places several days early to scope out the area to see what buildings I think I could survive in, you know, and also document. I don't want to be in a building that's completely secure as far as, like, where there's not one window, because I want to be able to shoot out of a window. But I prepare. I have a kit. You know, I have a big Tupperware bin that's got everything ready to go, the helmets and different things and the goggles, which you see a lot of people got a kick out of my YouTube video because I wasn't wearing goggles, and there's about a million comments about, you know, dude, get some goggles. But, you know, I wanted to be out in it. I wanted to show people what it was like, you know, and where I was at, it was just, you know, it was rain that was being driven very fast, but there wasn't any debris in the air, you know, right where I was standing on the balcony. So, but, you know, I'm always prepared. I don't just go into these things and think, oh, I'll figure it out later. You know, I've been through 25 landfalls, and the reason I've made it through without a scratch is for a reason. You know, and not trying to, I don't want to be that guy, you know, when people start getting cocky and then something happens to them, because I totally understand this is dangerous, and I understand, you know, I have to be serious about this. It's not something I take lightly. You know, I want to survive to film the next one. I'm not trying to, you know, get myself injured in one of these. I'm not an adrenaline junkie. I'm not in it for the adrenaline. You know, I really like seeing hurricanes and documenting to share with people, because I feel like it doesn't, you know, they're going to happen. We cannot stop a hurricane. All we can do is adapt and educate. And for the next generations that keep coming down, you know, being born on the planet, and then the older generations die off, and we have to keep passing those stories along, because people are just going to continue to keep dying from them.
Mike Tice, extreme photographer, extreme weather photographer, extreme weather chaser. So one of the biggest hurricanes to hit, of course, would be Katrina. As you take a look, you were obviously there. As you take or think back about that storm, what are your overall impressions of Katrina?
Katrina was, wow, it's something I'll never forget. You know, we witnessed 28-foot storm surge. I teamed up with Jim Reed from Jim Reed Photography, and we both documented. We figured, you know, strength and numbers. And we put our forces together. He had a lot of supplies of food. I had food. And we kind of combined everything. And as a team, we documented this event. And it was just unbelievable. We are in a 5-story hotel that we spoke to the engineers of the hotel. And it was built right after Hurricane Camille of 1969, when the old hotel was wiped out before it. So they built it purposely with the first floor to have breakaway walls, because they knew that this history was going to repeat itself, and one day water would just be coming right through there again. So when we heard that, we said, you know what, let's ride it out here. These guys built this hotel to survive this, and it did. You know, it's sad. Right before the hurricane, there was a hotel on either side of our hotel. There was restaurants, beautiful homes that had been there forever, giant oak trees, you know, super old. Who knows, I don't know how many hurricanes they had already been through at that point. And then everything just got completely devastated, and we were just left in this one concrete building hotel right on the beach. And when we came out of the hotel and walked around, you just couldn't believe it. I mean, 8 hours earlier, we were walking in that same area, and it was all normal. And there's horns beeping. You can smell propane gas leaking in the air. There's people walking around who just crawled out of their houses that stayed, and their house collapsed on them. And, you know, maybe they found they were in a cabinet or something where it didn't crush them. And everybody just starts coming out at the same time, and is just in a complete daze. Like, you know, what is, like, how do you comprehend that when an entire community gets wiped out? And that, I mean, that's been my most emotional hurricane by far. You know, just my personal effects. I had a lot of, you know, I had a bit of nightmares. I was just, you know, there was about a year to recover from that. It was just, it was bad. But anyways, that would be my top hurricane by far. I mean, my biggest experience. A lot of my work was seen the most, and I feel I was able to, you know, I hope through the video that I shot, people understand storm surge and what it can do. We've seen the tsunami videos, which, you know, the water is, I think, even more powerful and keeps coming in even more, but it's the same kind of effect, and it causes the same kind of damage, and it's going to happen again. So, You know, if you live in a hurricane-prone area and your area is susceptible to storm surge, or in history it's happened before, or the officials think it could happen, you should just leave. You know, and it's hard for me to say that because I go into these areas, but I'm not staying in my wooden house because I say, oh, I want to protect my things. You know, to me, when people say that, I just can't believe it. You know, I interviewed people after Katrina, and their whole house collapsed on them. One lady wrote it out in a tree, an older lady, and I said, why did you stay? And she says, well, you know, I've lived here my whole life, and I wanted to protect my house. And I just don't understand that answer. How are you going to protect your house? I don't get it. And that's how most people get killed, is because of that reason.
Mike Tice has basically been a part of every major hurricane on the East Coast since 1999. So you make money selling these photos and videos. Is there a big market out there? Do you support yourself just selling the videos and photos?
I support myself as far as funding my chases. I make a little bit over, and it helps pay some of the bills. But I mean, I have actually a second job that handles a lot of my bills and just your normal living expenses. But anything I make, you know, storm chasing, hurricane chasing, I put it right back into new ideas I have. I currently have a Chevy Tahoe that I have converted into something called the HERV. And the HERV stands for Hurricane Eyewall Research Vehicle. And I was sponsored by RM Young. I'm going to have wind anemometers on top to record the wind. I was sponsored by Bullet Liner that basically sprayed the outer shell with this protective armor that I think is going to help just make the overall strength of the car much stronger. A local buddy of mine I went to school with at Control Welding, we're welding the luggage rack on top. Even though it's not going to be for luggage, but it's going to hold all my data equipment, my wind anemometers, my spare tire. I'm going to build a cage effect that comes down and protects the windows and things like that. And then I just got a sponsorship from a place called Light Force out of Australia, and they make these super powerful lights, really durable. And I'm currently, actually tomorrow probably, getting all the lights installed on the top. Because one thing with hurricane chasing is if it hits at night, or I should say photography, if it hits at night, you're not getting any photos if it's pitch dark outside. You're not going to see anything. You're just going to hear things, which makes it really scary. So with Light Force lights, I'm going to be able to light up the entire area and turn night into day. Basically, when I talked to the representative there, he says, what do you want to achieve? What are you trying to do? And I said, I want to turn night into day. So with this light package we have, we're going to light up the entire area. And basically, so I'm working on sponsorships from these companies, but then along the way, there's still funds I need to put into this truck, you know, getting the tires and all these different things. So I put all my, anything I make extra and above from, you know, the expenses, because don't get me wrong, this is an expensive hobby / job. You have to fly to the islands at the last minute, which costs several thousand dollars. These resorts are several thousand dollars, but you want to be at a resort. You don't want to save money and stay at a hotel because, oh, it's maybe not as nice, but it's made of wood. I'll pay an extra $100, $200 a night or whatever it is to know that I'm in a concrete building where, first and foremost, my safety, you know, I'm going to be safe. So basically, that's what I do with the funds I make from it. There used to be a much bigger market when I first started, and even from some of the people I learned the trade from before me, they've made real good money doing it because there wasn't as many people that did it. So when one would come along, there'd only be one or two people. Now we have iReports, citizen journalism, people recording with their cell phones, sending in for free just to get their name on TV, and all this stuff, which helps the overall purpose of education and awareness because there's that many more videos getting out there and being seen. But for people like me who funded my chases that way, it's becoming a bit harder. But as long as I'm able to fund them, I'm happy because I just want to continue to document. But the market has really taken a hit with technology and with all this, the social networking that goes on. You know, they just come and they take video right off of YouTube, and just to give you permission, they take, you know, they're taking photos off of Twitter and all this and putting it on the news channels. And it's which I could get into a whole other topic. But to me, the whole evolution of media right now is we're in a big transition right now, and we're entering this era of, I think, reporters, your average reporter who does it for a living. I think those numbers for the TV networks are going to start going down, you know, much further down, maybe just a couple per network. And this is going to be all citizen journalism, you know, just video snippets from people sending in. And some people do stand up, you know, they just film themselves, you know, iReport. That's the whole phenomenon.
Mike, you could just take up backgammon as like sort of a simpler hobby.
Yeah, I could do that. I like to play golf. Golf is very relaxing. I'll do a bit of golf, but I get bored if I do that too long. I mean, I don't only do hurricanes. I do tornadoes and Tornado Alley the month of May and June. I've done that for the past 10 years working for Cloud 9 Tours. And I do that for 2 months a year. And the other times of the year, I'm shooting for National Geographic.
Wow.
And I've just documented South America for the past 3 years.
Holy cats.
I've been to Peru, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, Uruguay, Brazil, Argentina. It is beautiful down there. There is so much in South America that's off the beaten path as far as nature and salt flats and volcanoes. And it's amazing down there. And the people are great. So, you know, I'm not only about storms now. That's how I started off, but now I've evolved into other photography as well.
Okay.
And I like documenting the nice side of nature, the beautiful side of nature, not always the ugly side.
Mike Tice, you're no joke. He is an extreme weather follower, extreme weather photographer. You can find his work at extremenature.com and ultimatechase.com. Mike, we really appreciate you taking some time today.
Okay, I appreciate it, and you know, give me a call again sometime, and I'll share my latest adventures with you. And you can see them on my YouTube channel at YouTube/UltimateChase.
Hey, Mike, really appreciate you taking some time. I'll let you know when this stuff airs.